The phone never really rang at the helpline. Instead, a red light lit up on the keypad, and then the incoming number slowly scrolled onto the screen with the approximate location of the caller. All you had to do was push the button next to the red light to accept the call and speak into the headset. Teen Helpline. Hi, this is Nico. What's your name? We had a script we were supposed to follow, and hours of training before we were allowed to answer incoming calls. Even then, Marcia, the supervisor, paced the room, watching over us and clicking on to calls with her own master headset. She would come and stand behind you and write notes if she had something she thought you should say. If a call got totally out of control, she was there to switch lines and take over. When I showed up to volunteer, usually one afternoon a week, there was always a volunteer older than me, with more experience. They would take most of the calls, and I would just sit and listen. No better training than this, watching what the other volunteers do, how they react, Marcia said, probably thinking that I was bummed I didn't get to take more calls. That wasn't the case, though. Far from it. I was actually relieved. For months, I had been terrified I would take a call and say or do the wrong thing. We had people's lives in our hands here. So many of them called in ready to do something serious, hurting themselves or someone else. I was happy to sit and listen in with no responsibility of my own. But sometimes, like tonight, Marcia would ask me to take a call. That's you, Nico, line two, she said. The two other volunteers, Amber and Carrie, were already on calls, and for some reason, our fourth person hadn't shown up. I put down the slice of pizza I was eating and wiped my hands quickly before pressing the button next to the red light. Teen Helpline. I barely got the words out before I heard her on the other side, crying.
Oh, there's really someone there? A small voice sniffled. A real person?
My name is Nico. What's yours? I followed the script, Marcia nodding as I spoke. The caller's name and number came up on the screen. She was on a cell phone outside Denver. She wasn't lying about her name, like lots of callers did. The phone was registered to her. I listened closely as she talked about the girls at her school and how they were treating her, about how she had started cutting and wanted to stop but didn't know how.
Sometimes I think about just running away, like just starting over somewhere, you know, just disappearing, the girl said.
A shiver ran down my spine. I know. I totally understand. We all feel that way sometimes. I gave the advice I was supposed to, clicked the resource link next to her location, and gave her the names and numbers of the places closest to her where she could get help. But the whole time, my mind was not really on this crying girl. I was thinking of Sarah. Would I know her if she called? That couldn't happen. Would never happen. Coincidences like that were for the movies, not real life. Still, part of me had to admit the truth about why I had chosen to volunteer at the helpline to meet the school community service requirement. I could have been at the animal hospital, nursing a baby rabbit back to health, or at Mapleview Home for Seniors, reading to some nice old blind lady. But here I was, answering calls from teens who wanted to disappear, and then sometimes did. By the time I ended the call, the Denver girl had stopped crying. Marcia looked over and gave me a smile and a thumbs up, even though I could tell she was already listening to another call. I noticed with a start that it was 9:02. I dug my community service form out of my backpack and put it on her desk on my way out. Nico, Marcia called to me as I was almost at the elevators. Great work tonight, really, she said. Her eyes were on the form I'd left on her desk. Where am I supposed to sign this? I walked back to her desk and showed her. But you also have to fill out the evaluation section, I reminded her. So I'll pick it up from you later. Give me a minute, and I'll do it right now. I glanced at the backlit clock on the wall. Now it was 9:05. I can't. I have to go, I said.
Really, it'll just take a sec, she insisted. I stood next to her desk for a moment while she wrote something on the lines. Her black pen moved so slowly. Halfway done. 9:07. I could feel my heart thumping in my chest.